What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, October 6th, 2017. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Andy Cortez. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, y'all. I'm doing great, Tim.
Good.
Doing great, man.
Good.
Got a good night's rest. Watching Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I'm just hydrating.
You just keep hydrated. Keep hydrated,
just
my friend.
Hydrated.
Now, before we even get into the show and stuff, I wanted to ask you as a follow-up to yesterday. You didn't know how to make PS4 beta codes work. Then someone told you how to.
Right.
Have you played any Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Played a match.
One match.
Played one match.
Okay. How'd you feel about it? What was it? Give me the deets.
It was the level, I guess it was Naboo, where you're on the ground level and it's like...
infiltrating the palace.
Yeah, it was a stormtrooper. It was essentially stormtroopers versus like the fucking the droids.
Droids. Was it stormtroopers or clone troopers?
Roger. I think we were... No, yeah, we were clone troopers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I essentially got the... I was the assault guy for most of the time. So essentially, when you pick it, when you pick your class, you get sent out in a little group of four with you and three other dudes. So there's a lot of teams of four people. So it's like...
squad.
It's wise that you stay with your little squad. Of course, I ventured out a lot of times.
Do they always partner you with one of each of the other?
No. Types? So sometimes there'd be three assault people and one heavy. Or there'd be one assault and two heavy and one of the dudes with just a little blaster. And they look like the fucking... like they look like they're high up in the ranks.
Got it.
I don't know their names. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Joe.
Yeah, Joe. combat feels fun. I was mostly playing in... first person mode. I didn't switch to third person mostly because I didn't know how to switch to third person. And as you keep killing people, you have the option to upgrade to either you can come in as a Naboo starfighter or as on your clone ship or whatever. There was a lot of mixed IP, a lot of mixed
era.
Yeah, things going on. It was fun though. Again, I only did one match because I was really tired. And like the first thing I did when I got home, I just played some 2K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I played some more 2K. And I was like, let me try this Battlefront thing.
Are you itching for more Battlefront, though?
Yes, but I need to be in a better mood than I was last night. Not that I was in a bad mood. I just was. It was not the time for me to do it.
Because
it was like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it was very late.
Yeah.
Blade Runner is a long movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I definitely want to try it out more. And I think it'd be way funner to play it with friends than just with like normal ass people on the internet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every day right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together to talk about all the video game news you need to know about. You can watch it live on Twitch, like I just said, or you can watch the VOD on youtube.com/kindafunnygames when it gets released there in full at your leisure. You can also listen to it when you're driving your car, doing whatever you need to do, if you're just not trying to pay attention to things, by going to podcast services around the globe. It's a good time for everybody.
You and say leisure.
Leisure? Leisure? Huh. I think it changes.
Does it?
I don't know when or how. When I'm trying to sound like an asshole, I say leisure.
Mm.
I'm a leisure guy.
Tide comes in, tide comes out. I can't explain it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But like when I'm describing things, I say leisure, right? Mm. But leisure is my normal. It's like tomato, tomato, but you know how no one says tomato?
It's like tu and usted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is what it's like.
Yeah.
Andy, I love you.
You're trying to be more formal.
So. Now it's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some motherfucking news. Today we have four stories.
A baker's dozen.
Oh, you're a little solid snake there. I like that. This comes from IGN, the most powerful home console of all time, hides a tiny Master Chief riding a scorpion. Are you taking time codes, my friend?
I just started, yeah.
Please, I'd appreciate that. The most powerful home console of all time hides a tiny, adorable little secret inside. On the circuit board of the Xbox One X is a tiny Master Chief perched on the back of a scorpion, a nod to both Xbox history and the Project Scorpio codename. The art was first noticed by Spanish YouTube channel Uno Cero in a video breaking down the console. It's stamped right there, but it's not particularly big, just cute. Microsoft's Mike Ybarra confirmed the tiny Master Chief to IGN. You can see right there, Andy, there's the Master Chief riding the Scorpion.
I can confirm that that is a Master Chief riding Scorpion.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it's pretty
cute. I like it. Yeah, you can check it out by going to IGN, seeing that article, checking out the picture. But yeah, it's just a cool little fun thing. Who cares?
Didn't Nintendo do that with a console?
I don't know about this. I don't
was
know
there
about
not
images.
Like a hidden Mario somewhere on a circuit board?
In Disneyland, they have hidden Mickeys. You might be thinking about that.
Yeah, Disney and Nintendo get mixed up
all the time. But no, whatever. This is cool. But I do enjoy that they are kind of doubling down on using the codename as something that real fans should care about, like the Scorpio edition of the Xbox One X, where it's like the day one edition of the original
on it,
Xbox One. I like that because for, you know, people like us that are the hardcore gamers that are into it and into the systems and read the news and know all the stuff, like, I love the history of it. I love the GameCube being called the Dolphin. I love the Wii being called the Revolution and all that stuff. It's like, it's rad. It's cool. And the fact that they're sticking to it,
they got
to
give us that PS3 boomerang, Tim.
We need that boomerang controller.
Bring it back.
Where the hell is that shit at? Good Lord.
Well, they're bringing back the Duke, so Xbox.
It's such a weird thing.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what? My buddy Brian Riley from Rooster Teeth Games was like, oh, I fucking love the Duke. I'm so glad it's coming back. He's like, my hands are too big. And he's a large man. He's like 6'5".
He is a large man. That is true.
And he was like, the Duke fit perfectly in my hand. Then the S came out or whatever, and he was like, way too small. So
no, first off, the S was also big. Not too big, but it was big compared to like the DualShock, little tiny DualShock. But the Duke, I get it. If you have big hands and you like big controllers, my biggest problem, no pun intended, with the Duke was the way the buttons were
slanted.
They weren't in a perfect like diamond. Yeah. It was like a weird ass. I mean, I guess it was still a diamond, but it was like not.
It was a rhombus.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean? I took a lot of geometry, man.
A lot? How many times did you fail it?
No, geometry was fine for me. College algebra I took 3 times. Dropped it one of my times, and my friend who was on his 3rd time, I was on my 2nd time, I dropped it, and he was like, you motherfucker, you dropped it? You didn't tell me you were dropping it? I was like, sorry, dude.
Dude, man,
I sold him out, dude. Yeah, I sold him out.
Second story. This one's for you, Andy. Destiny 2, Iron Banner, Prestige Raids, and new armor sets announced. This also comes from IGN. In the wake of the completion of Destiny 2's first faction rally, which saw Dead Orbit coming out on top, Bungie has announced a slew of additions coming to the game next week. A particular note is the first Iron Banner event for Destiny 2, featuring the return of Lord Saladin as Overseer of the Banner. The Iron Banner retains broadly the same approach as in the previous game, but with a few significant changes. Combat will now be between 2 teams of 4 players, and level advantages have been removed, making combat about the ability of the players rather than the level they've reached. In addition, the previous system of bounties and ranks has been replaced by a specific Iron Banner engram. Engram?
Engram.
Engram. Yeah. The Iron Banner is still only open to players who have completed the game's full campaign and will once again provide rewards in the form of Iron Banner tokens, along with daily and seasonal milestones for determined players. There's also the addition of some brand new shiny-looking armor to sweeten the pot. The first Iron Banner event will run October 10th through 17. Exact timings are available on Bungie's original post on their website. The first Prestige Raid has also been announced, featuring a souped-up version of the Leviathan Raid. Bungie are clear in their update that they, quote, do not expect everyone to be successful, reaffirming that the Prestige Raid is intended as more as a challenge than as a progression booster, but that there will be rewards. They also promised that World First will be counted, but don't give any further details. The raid goes live Tuesday, October 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
World First.
So I guess
like the first people to do it will
get something.
Oh, neat. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So last in Destiny 1, again, I only played vanilla Destiny. I did not play any of the DLC. What I played of vanilla Destiny was very, very hardcore, though. So what Iron Banner was, again, it's this multiplayer event. But back in the day, it was like you could do your sort of casual just matchmaking, right? Multiplayer. It was 6v6 at the time. And then Iron Banner was like, oh, do you want all your gear to matter in this match? Like, if you have higher level gear than I do, there's a solid chance you're going to kill me faster. And so now they're taking the skill, that the sort of gear powers away, and now it's like all about skill. So everybody's on an even playing field. May to the winner go the berries, you know?
May the winner go the berries. Is that a good thing, though? Because to me, that sounds like that being the one mode that actually uses those things that you've worked so hard to gain.
So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they're taking that away. I'm wondering if they're bringing in some other way to utilize your weapon powers or whatever. I'm kind of surprised by that, because I guess the only reason to now play this is to get the gear, right? I guess it was always about the gear, but it was when people had a high level weapon, you would want to go in there and be like, oh, I'm going to use this shit. I'm going to tear shit up, you know? I don't know how the response is going to be, mostly because I'm not a PvP player. So I don't, it doesn't really matter a whole lot.
So this doesn't matter at all to you.
I mean, I'll probably hop in to try to get some gear here and there, but also like I haven't turned on Destiny in like 5 days. And I'm like,
I when you started that sentence, I thought it was going to be weeks. No. 5 days.
I mean, that's a lot, you know? I mean, shit. I guess maybe it's been a little bit old. Maybe it's been around a week or so. Mm. But yeah, the last time I hopped on, I think I just went to go like, turn some shit in, and I did like a daily quest or whatever, but I haven't been on in a while, so this stuff doesn't really affect me a whole lot, but I'm interested to see how it affects all my friends who really do love the grind of multiplayer and PvP.
What about the prestige raid that they're talking about?
I mean, the raid's already fucking hard, right?
Do you think you're up to the challenge, Andy?
Probably not, because I'm sure you have to be around like a level, I'm sure this is like max level 305 type stuff. If you're 302, 303, that you may not be good enough. Cause at that point, it's all about math. And like, if you're not, you could be the best player in the world, but if you're not putting out a certain damage output, like you're useless kind of.
Bits and bytes.
But it's, I don't know. I'm interested to see, I wonder if it's just going to be more ads or how exactly they're going to make it more difficult.
More ads?
Like the bad guys.
Like I thought you were talking about like kind of funny.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Hey! No. Next news story. This comes from Digitimes. Now, this is interesting. This is another one of those ones where stories 3 and 4 are connected here. All right, Andy, you want to put a little time code
I'm fucking
there?
Following cool. along, Doug.
Cool. Nintendo drastically ups Switch production. Nintendo has recently raised its orders for the Nintendo Switch to 2 million units a month. Because of the product's surging demand, and the vendor is expected to be able to achieve its annual shipment target of 20 million units for 2017, according to sources from the upstream supply chain. Since the Nintendo Switch reportedly will begin selling in the China market in early 2018, the sources believe the device's shipment may rise further next year. By the end of June 2017, Nintendo had already sold 4.7 million Switches, and the strong performance has prompted Nintendo to increase the supply of the game's console. The game's console is currently in short supply in Japan and will not be not be available in Taiwan until December 2017, with the launch in China. While the launch in China has not been officially scheduled, China lifted the ban on game console sales in early 2014. I'm so happy we don't live in China. Microsoft started selling its Xbox in China at the end of 2014, and Sony released its PlayStation in early 2015. In 2016, China's game console sales grew 56.7% on year, a growth higher than the worldwide average, according to China's official figures. Nintendo has also recently partnered with Tencent to add one of China-based players' games to Switch platforms. The sources also pointed out that the Switch shortages, man, there's so much alliteration shit going on here. Switch shortages are mainly due to tight supplies of key components, including DRAM, and has nothing to do with defective components or issues on its assembly. The Switch is currently manufactured by Foxconn and Japan-based Hosiden, with Foxconn supplying over 50% of the overall volume.
It's always Foxconn.
Always Foxconn. Mm-hmm. Foxconn. but ODMs such as Pegatron... What is up with this?
These
Pegatron
words.
Technology and Wistron are trying to win orders for the game's console. Pegatron has stationed a team near Nintendo's headquarters looking to persuade the Japan-based vendor, according to the sources. So here's my thoughts on this. First off, if true, awesome, great. Nintendo seems to finally have figured out solutions to their hardware supply shortages. We've seen recently with SNES Classic being more available than people anticipated, the NES Classic coming back, and now them talking about these Switch numbers that are not only would this hopefully solve the problem, but this sounds aggressive. 2 million a month, that'd be putting the Switch at a very, very, very high sell rate if it's 100% sell through. So that's the thing, is we don't know right now what the Switch is capable of selling, because every time it's put in stores, it sells out.
Right.
So we don't know where that end cap is, right? We don't know where the saturation point of how many need to be made per month. But then when you add in the launch in China, the launch in Taiwan, and all those things, this is going to be important for Nintendo to be able to accomplish something like this. However, Digitimes, not always the most reliable source when it comes to this type of stuff. Because I've seen them report things before, and I remember they reported that even in like that the Switch was gearing up for 2017, and it was going to have like something ridiculous, like 20 million.
Call them
Switches,
on their bullshit, dude.
Which prepped. I'm calling them on their bullshit, and they were wrong about that. So that leads into the next story. Whether or not they're correct, this next story is true. Nintendo stock hits 9-year high on Switch production increase. This comes from, I don't have the source. I feel like an asshole.
Digitimes.
I'm going to say Kotaku. Nintendo Co. shares hit a 9-year high in Tokyo Friday on reports the company will up the production of its Switch console. The move by the Japanese company comes on the heels of strong demand for its new console. Nintendo in July said it had sold 1.97 million units of its hybrid Switch console in its first quarter through the end of June. Nintendo shares rose 2.66% Friday in Tokyo, their highest point since March 2008.
Holy shit.
Shares have gained more than 77% since the beginning of 2017. Nintendo is said to be increasing its production to 2 million units per month from an undisclosed production rate, according to reports from Digitimes, as we just said. The company had forecast in the first quarter that it would ship 10 million consoles in the fiscal year 2018, ending in March, which would mean that production stood at somewhere between 800,000 and 1 million units per month. Sources told Digitimes that Nintendo were expecting to ship about 20 million units this year. Last month, Credit Suisse, I don't fucking know, said it sees Nintendo almost doubling the number of Switch consoles sold to 130 million units through 2022, up from Wall Street's projected 70 million. 130 million. If this thing sells 130 million, that would be unreal.
What are they at right now?
Right now, I mean, last reported.
Seven or?
No. No. I'm pretty sure last reported, I think we're around five. And it's been some time, so we don't know. And like they're holding back shipments for Odyssey and stuff. There hasn't been a major big push since Splatoon, if I remember correctly, where they had, you know, new shit. No, that wasn't that long ago, but it's been at least over a month. But 130 million, for reference, like the PlayStation 4 right now is at like 64, something like that. So it's like...
Well, 64 in how many years? 4 years? 3 years? 2014? No, 2013.
Yeah, 4 years.
Okay.
So, through 2022. So, we still got some time. Still, do we expect the PlayStation 4 to sell 130 millions by 2022? Not necessarily. That's a big number. So, we'll see.
Well, also, when are we going to start breaking up, like, pro models and stuff like that?
I think it's...
Everybody's just going to go for a PS4.
Whatever it is. PS4, family, you know, whatever. Quote, as Nintendo Switch is a unique game platform for use as either a console or handheld, there was initially some uncertainty over whether its sales cycle would more closely resemble that of a console or handheld. Credit Suisse. I don't know how to say that word. It's S-U-I-S-S-E. Suisse.
Suisse, maybe? I don't know. It kind of reminds you of Seuss and how Dr. Seuss's real name is Soyce.
Soyce. I'm going to say Credit Soyce.
Yeah.
Analyst Kaichi Yonishima wrote in the note obtained by Barron's, although the Switch is currently categorized as more of a console, we expect it to sell like a handheld. Yonishima believes sales will be powered by consumers' desire to own the console based on its portable and handheld characteristics. We now expect the Switch to achieve peak sales about 5 years after launch, like a typical handheld game device. We also raise our peak year sales forecast. The analyst upped his estimates for peak year unit shipments to 31 million from 25 million. A lot of interesting shit there. And again, these are big ass fucking numbers. And I don't necessarily believe them. But the fact that the most important takeaway from this to me is two things. One, it's selling like a handheld. That's a very good sign for Nintendo because Nintendo's handhelds sell very well. The other thing is whether or not the Digitimes article was right and their information is correct, it is affecting Nintendo stock, and Nintendo's stock is now going up, so this is benefiting Nintendo in some way. So
that's a lot of money, Timothy.
It is a lot of money. Good Lord.
I've never really been a handheld sort of guy. So like when I'm at home, it's docked. I prefer it docked, or at least on the stand with my controller.
You're one of the few.
Yeah, proud. That's weird. Yeah,
the docked.
Like I was so excited to play Golf Story on my TV.
Yeah,
and I always felt that way as a kid, even about Pokemon.
Yeah,
like playing on my 3DS, playing on my DS and my Game Boy Advance. Like I wish I could just play this on TV. The re-release of Ocarina of Time on 3DS.
Yeah,
I was like, I would want this on a TV. I don't want to be stuck to this, you know. Interesting. And the Switch just changed my life, man.
Yeah, I love
this. Changed my life for the better.
I mean, I love that you can do both. It's just, it's so fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so great. Now it is time for what games are coming out today. Where could people find out, Andy, if they were looking?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Is that the thing? Do you do that yet?
Yep. Was it for that or is that for reader mail?
It's for reader mail.
All right. Out today, Layton's Mystery Journey on the Nintendo 3DS. Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions on the 3DS.
You can let us know if the jingle is wrong at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
You're wrong. And also, you can be a part of the show by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to ask your questions, squad up with people, do all that stuff. You ever play Mario and Luigi on the Game Boy Advance?
No.
So
no,
this is a remake of the first game, which is probably my favorite game in the Mario and Luigi series.
Okay, I was like, wow, you're about to...
As a whole. And it's a lot of fun. I'm excited. I played a little bit of this 3DS one, and I'm like, it's good. It's definitely good. I don't need this right now. And it feels like filler, where it's just like, the 3DS has a lot of consoles in the wild. Let's sell some games on it. And I'm like,
sure, yeah.
All right, Nintendo, good for you, but I ain't into this.
Let's up-res some stuff. Let's like bring some graphics back into the 21st century.
It's funny, though, because it is one of those games where I look at it, and I'm like, oh, this is how I remember it looking. But then you look back, it's like, this is two generations ahead.
Yeah.
Super Mario series amiibos for the Goomba and Koopa Troopa are out today, as well as a new 2DS XL, the orange and white variant.
Creamsicle style.
Yeah.
Creamsicle. I love that one.
Ooh, it looks nice.
I think the standard one looks dope. The standard one with the gray and the neon blue, the kind of funny blue.
Oh, love the colors.
Yeah.
Don't like the system though. Battle Garanga Revision 2016 is out on PlayStation 4. Save the Ninja Clan is out on the PlayStation Vita.
Hmm.
All right. Judge, spelled with a Y,
Vita
instead
lives,
of
man.
A U, Xbox One.
Wait, wait, what?
Judge, spelled with a Y instead of a U.
Huh. Maybe it's not Judge. Why would it be Judge?
I don't know. What else would it be, Andy?
But why would they put a Y there?
Why?
Judge?
Judge? The Culling 1.0 is on Xbox One. Bulb Boy is on Xbox One.
The Culling. Wow. It's been a while since I've heard that game. That's the game that I thought, like, oh, this is the H1Z1 killer.
Oh, and then...
And then PUBG came along.
Iron Wings is on Xbox One. Zombie Party on Xbox One. And Oxenfree on the Nintendo Switch.
Ah. So you can check that's a game out I never tried out. I think I had it downloaded at one point on my Xbox One. And I just never got into it. And also, I heard it was spooky, so I was like, ooh, it's kind of spooky. I'm
now
scared.
That it's on this there Nintendo Switch, you think you might give it another shot?
I think I might, but there's so many fucking games, dude. So many games. I sat down last night, I was like, I want to play at least like two little quick games of 2K18. And they're really quick because you're playing as my player, right? So like my player isn't getting a lot of minutes right now.
Man.
Exactly. My guy's not getting a lot of minutes because I'm still like a rook. Still a young rook. So I'm like... Each game takes like maybe 10 to 15 minutes, super quick. But then I was like, I want to play more Hob. I want to play Ruiner too. Oh, and I still want to get back into golf. Sorry. And then this month's just going to be a fucking disaster.
Dude, we got South Park coming.
Oh, God.
Like in what, a week? Little over a week?
Too many.
Good Lord. So let's go right here into reader mail. But before I do that, I got a message for you, Andy.
Oh, let me hear it, Timothy.
This comes from Will. I got a bone to pick with Andy from yesterday.
Oh, fucking shit.
Great job filling in so far, guys. However, Andy, you said Jared Goff is someone you should target this weekend in DraftKings. I disagree. While he's a cheaper option, he's going against the Seahawks, who are arguably the best defense he has played this year. I were to pick a Ram, it would probably be Gurley. Just because he gets the ball no matter what.
Todd Gurley's on my fantasy
team. And the Titans were able to run on the Seahawks earlier this year as well. Keep up the good work. Beyond to you, my friend.
I mean, that's a good point. I can't argue with that. I didn't know he was going up against the Seahawks. I just meant like overall, throughout the whole year, Jared Goff is a cheap pickup and he's going to get you. He's going to be a high-value type pick.
Well, guess what, Andy? It's not too late. This Reader Mail is brought to you by DraftKings. Football season has begun, but it's not too late to get closer to the game you love with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest that's totally free to enter. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or a private contest where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill levels. And you'll never burn up the waiver wire, trying to replace injured players, because you get to pick a new team every week. That's the beauty of 1 week fantasy at DraftKings. So get to DraftKings.com now and use promo code KINDOFFUNNY to play in DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code KINDOFFUNNY to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. So why would you do it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Andy, so who do you recommend to people if they're going to use this? DraftKings.com, promo code kind of funny. Who do you pick?
So the way it works is like you pick a player from every team to go against other people every week, right? And obviously you want they give you like 50 fake dollars and they're like, hey, here's $50, buy a team. Really good quarterback might be like $8, right? So it's like if you pick a great quarterback, $8, and maybe a really good running back for like $10, you're starting to see where like the rest of your team can't easily be filled out with the money that you have left. So it's like, who are going to be the good value picks that I want in these situations? I you know what? I'll get back to that. I'll get back to
it. Think about it. Yeah. We'll get back to it later.
Look
in the
at
show.
The NFL schedule.
Don't worry. Don't worry. All right, now it is time, like I said, for reader mail. Do the doodle. This comes from Joey Harper.
I like that fade out, and it did.
With the Nintendo World Championships tomorrow, will any new game be announced? So here's my thing. Very excited for the Nintendo World Championships. You can check them out tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time. That is correct. On Nintendo's live stream services. Andrew Renee hosting it of Kind of Funny Games Daily and What's Good Games fame.
You know what?
Very excited to see Andrea. I know, man. It's been too long.
Yeah.
She's been gone. Danny's been gone. I can't wait till he comes back. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Well, we'll talk about
it's
that
kind,
later.
Kind of sad. Yeah. But no, Andrea, seriously, I'm so proud of her. I can't wait to see what she does tomorrow at the show. I'm excited to see the show. Obviously, I'm a big Nintendo fan. Nintendo World Championships, it's just a fun time. It's a good time. I think it's going to be really cool. And in terms of things being announced, at the 2015 Nintendo World Championships, which were the last ones they had, they did announce Earthbound Beginnings, which was the first time Mother 1 was ever, released in worldwide on the Wii U.
Mr. Worldwide Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide. NES. So, I don't know that NES was in. I didn't play that one. I'm not sure NES is in that. I actually don't think he is. But
in Earthbound 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's Mother 1.
Oh.
Earthbound's Mother 2?
I will never get that straight.
Me neither. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
KindOfFunny.com/you're wrong. But they did announce that. So that's a weird thing, right? Because that's not a big game, but it's also a big deal because
the franchise
like,
is being tossed around again.
That's a thing that people want, right?
Like think they're gauging interest?
That's when the NeoGAFs explode and like, wait, when are we going to get this? And boom, then they get that during the Nintendo World Championships of all things. So do I think that we'll get something? My answer is yes. I think we'll get something, and I think it'll be more significant and mainstream than that because of where the Switch is at right now. Them deciding to do the kind of funny, not kind of funny, the Nintendo World Championships. As its own event, not as part of E3, but as its own thing of, hey, all eyes on us. This is a Saturday. We're going to own this. New York Comic Con's happening, but Nintendo typically does not go big if you even show up to that event. So this being its own thing in New York, being live streamed, there's going to be a lot of eyes, and people are loving the Switch right now. Nintendo's on a great upward trajectory. I can see them making some announcements. And
they can do no wrong right now, Tim.
They can do no wrong. And here's the thing. Not guaranteed they're going to announce anything, but what's the dream announcement? For me, it's one of two things. The obvious one, Super Smash Brothers. They go through, they start playing all these games, and it's like, and then the final game, Super Smash Brothers for the Nintendo Switch, and it being an a port of like a Super Mario Deluxe.
Sure.
Or Super Smash Brothers Deluxe from
a couple new characters, couple new levels.
Couple new characters. Let's get some ARMS characters. Let's get some Inklings in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that
and
would be cool.
Let's get the 3DS levels that weren't in the Wii U one. Let's smash them together.
Bring back Solid
Smash
Snake.
Run. Let's bring back Snake. Let's bring back Ice Climbers. Let's give Squirtle some love. Ivysaur. So weird to think that Ivysaur was a playable character in Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Sure
was. Anyways, I would love that. And that'd be great. The other thing that could happen is Super Mario Maker for Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think it's the right time for it because I feel like that's more of an E3 announcement. But Mario Maker was the standout star And it was kind of the blowout first presentation of Mario Maker at the last Nintendo World Championships. So it'd be a fun little like.
It'd be only thing. Fitting. Yeah.
It would only be fitting. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It would build hype.
You don't think we'll see any of that Metroid?
Prime? Absolutely not. Not a chance in hell.
That game doesn't even have like anything involved. Yeah.
All right.
If I could be a fly on the wall right now and just like see where they're at in the development cycle. And know, like, okay, this game's not coming for another 4 years or something like that. I think about that game a lot.
Another thing, I could be wrong about this. I think Metroid Prime 4 is farther along than we give it credit for.
Really?
Yeah. I think them announcing it was purposeful, obviously, to create hype. But I don't think that it's 4 years out. I think that it's 2 years out, max.
Every question is a topic, right? Is a time code?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So we just answered Nintendo World Championship. Mm-hmm. Will they announce a game?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what time that was, but we'll figure it out. Hey,
figure it out. Hey,
it's part of the process.
We're in this together. We're doing this together. This comes from Rocky Bull. Hey, kind of funny team. This is Rocky Bull, and I'm a huge fan from Bangladesh. After watching the E3 2017, I think 2018 is going to be one of the best years for games. Spider-Man, Anthem, Days Gone, Metro Exodus, God of War, etc. We never know if Last of Us 2 releases at the end of September.
Detroit? When is Detroit coming out?
Well, there's still no release date, but yeah, hopefully, I mean, it better be next year.
Yeah.
Detroit? What do you guys think about 2018, and what's your most anticipated game?
2018? Let me see that list again.
It's shaping up to be pretty damn awesome. For me, I think that Spider-Man is still my most anticipated because it's just right up my alley. Love Spider-Man. Been love third-person action games. And we still have been waiting for the Arkhamization of the Marvel Universe. And in addition to that, like Insomniac's just so fucking great. And the fact that it is a exclusive game, which typically means more funds, more care, more passion being put into the project. Spider-Man.
It's not a throwaway project for sure.
Yeah.
I'd say Spider-Man's up there for me along with the Anthem. Because, yes, I know Andromeda was not as great as everybody wanted it to be. I still think it's a good game. I need to go back to it. I don't want to give up on it. Like, I know that it's going to be like a 7 out of 10 or whatever. But I still love that universe. I love BioWare. And just based on what that little clip that we saw of Anthem, I have so much faith in this fucking project because I feel like it's their best working on it.
Hell
Casey
yeah.
Hudson's back.
Let's do it, man. Let's get into it.
Love that, man.
Let's get into it. But yeah, no, Days Gone, I'm excited for. Yeah, Anthem, God of War. Like, it's going to be a great year.
I'm really excited for God of War. So for someone who I've never cared about the God of War franchise. And I know Greg's reasoning is like, oh, he never related to Kratos. I just never really cared about that play style. I dabbled a bit in Devil May Cry and stuff like that, but like the combos, the hack and slash sort of shit. I never loved that sort of the presentation around it. But the most recent demos that we've seen at E3 and
I'm super jazzed. On the Nintendo side of things, it's interesting because what's been announced so far in 2018, it's not that I'm not excited for it, but they're definitely not at the top of my list. Like Kirby, I don't even know if I'm going to get to it. Yoshi, I'm going to play it, but like, the Woolly World, for as great as it is, it's not Yoshi's Island, and like that's kind of what I want from it. It seems a little bit more dumbed down and actually aimed at kids, as opposed to being a game that is, or no, it's actually for kids instead of being a game that's aimed at kids.
Like a childish facade, but there's still
there's something good there.
There's some good meat on the bone,
substantial there. Yeah. And I might be blanky because we do still have a lot of questions. Where's Smash Bros? Is Pokemon actually 2018? Is Metroid 2018? It's probably not. Things like that, you know. But we'll confirm 2018. Well, this one comes from Pickle. Good morning, Tim and Andy.
Hey, Pickle.
I am so fucking excited. I just got the Platinum Trophy on Final Fantasy X. Holy shit, I can't believe I did it. 118 hours over the course of 3 months. Hard to get time to play games with two kids and a wife. This is certainly my most proud Platinum Trophy, and probably the hardest, too. It's also the longest I think I've ever played a single player game in one playthrough. I know you aren't a trophy hunter, Tim, but what about you, Andy? What is your most proud game you've beat to completion of of getting the Platinum Trophy. Also, what's the longest you've ever played a game in a single playthrough? Fuck, I can't believe I got it. You guys are awesome. Thanks for all the good stuff. P.S. There are so many trophies that can go fuck themselves on this list, but I'm calling out Chocobo Rider as the absolute worst. Fuck that trophy all day and night. Get a time of 0-0-0 on a Chocobo race? Bullshit, especially since it's like 90% luck. And I had to do it twice because of a glitch. Fuck you, Chocobo.
Fuck you, Chocobo. Thank you, Pickle. What is the... Now, I am new to PlayStation, the PlayStation ecosystem. Mm. I've always been an Xbox boy, because that's where the majority of my friends were on. 360, I bought the Xbox One at launch. I've never been about completing games 100%. That's never been my thing. I'd say games that I played a lot of, I played more recently, like in the last few years, Dragon Age Inquisition. I played a lot of that game. God. Overwatch, but that wasn't really me trying to use all the different characters and trying to...
Yeah.
Let me use this ability because this trophy is going to unlock... Like,
he's asking about single-player games.
Single-player games.
Longest time you put into a single-player game. Because multiplayer is different.
Metal Gear Solid 5. I put a lot of time into that fucking game. I don't know. I've never been about 100%ing stuff. I just don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Wish I did, but it's never been my jam. Sorry, Pickle. Sorry to let you down, Pickle.
Yeah. I mean, I've told many of these stories before. I've never platinumed a game, like with the actual trophies and all that stuff. But back in my day, in the, you know, GameCube, PS2 era, I 100%ed a lot of games. I've 100%ed pretty much every Mario game, the Smash Bros. Games in terms of all the trophies and all that stuff. Well,
yeah, I guess
there's trophies in Smash Bros. Yeah. Stamps and all that stuff too. But the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series, like I would 100% those in the way of playing through the entire single player campaign with every single skater, maxing out all their stats, doing all that stuff. I was really into that. And yeah, Final Fantasy X. I didn't get the platinum because it was on PlayStation 2 when I did it, but I 100%ed it. All legendary weapons, all the optional bosses, doing the chocobo races, all the blitzball. I played so much goddamn blitzball. I did everything, and I fucking loved that game, man. And it made me want to keep playing it. Like it rewarded me in a way where I loved the post game, the end game. It was so good.
I'd say Mass Effect 2 and 3 were all games like that for me as well. Mm. But just mostly because I loved existing in that world, and it was never stale to me.
Yeah.
To run around with like my squad mates and like trying to take down these people, do all the side quests. Like that stuff really interests me, but I've never been a trophy hunter or a I've never been like the collectathon fan sort of thing, you know?
Mm.
Sorry, Pickle.
You just like saying that.
I do.
And then the final question of the day, this comes from Joaquin. Hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily Crew. With a Hat in Time releasing today and looking great, I'm wondering if the future of 3D platformers is looking bright. This year seems to be a resurgence of the genre with this game, Yooka-Laylee and Mario Odyssey, releasing and getting a lot of attention. But do you think it can last, or is it more of a fad / coincidence than anything else? Thanks for the show and everything you all do.
I do think it's an interesting sort of fad. I think it was it like Yooka-Laylee that sort of ushered it back in?
I mean, in terms of it having a Kickstarter, yeah.
Yeah. I'm loving Hob right now. And it's not exactly a 3D platformer. Like, you don't have the ability of using your right stick as a camera. But it has all the elements of, like, jumping on things and timing jumps and shit like that. Yeah, there is platforming, I guess. I don't know. Are they talking about more like mascot platformers? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what I read from this. My thing is, obviously, Mario's never went away. Mario's always had 3D platformers coming out. I think the biggest gap we ever had was actually between Mario 64 and Sunshine. Because 64 came out in what, like, I guess it was 96, and then Sunshine didn't come out until 2001. codename, there you go. And then eventually we got Galaxy 2, and then we got Super Mario 3D Land, Mario 3D World, and although those are different, they're still 3D platformers. And now we're getting Odyssey with Hat in Time and Yooka-Laylee. There's those. There's Ratchet and Clank, and obviously Crash Remastered.
Unleash the Dragon. Well.
We got to unleash the dragon, man. Where's Spyro at? But I do think that it's a coincidence that these things are all happening at once. I imagine that Hat in Time isn't going to, you know, set the world on fire. I think Yooka-Laylee overall disappointed people. Mario Odyssey looks to be great. And going into next year, it's like, will they announce another Crash? It's inevitable. At some point, we're going to get another Crash something. Will it be good? I don't know. That's up in the air. Will we get another Ratchet? I fucking hope so, because the remake they did was amazing. I think that there's something special about that $40 price point. And I think that a lot of developers and publishers are realizing that, and that the $40 price point is great for families, and it's very enticing to people for things like 3D platformers. And the budgets for these games don't need to be as high as they do for some of the other AAA genres you get, like when it comes to shooters or RPGs or like these giant open world games, right? So I think we'll definitely see a lot more of them, but I don't think that means we're going to get a lot more quality ones. I think that there will be a couple standouts, and there'll be a bunch of failures, and over the next couple of years, it'll start to dwindle out again.
Yeah, I think we'll start
remain just being Mario.
I think we'll start to see a lot of smaller developers trying to emulate the successes of Ratchet and stuff like that, and we'll start to see more stuff like A Hat in Time on Steam, going for that sort of kiddie, colorful, fun platforming. But I do think that there will be a large gulf in quality between the better ones and the ones that just, you know, there's so many fucking games on Steam.
Yep.
Was Ratchet a critical success?
Yes.
Or not critical success.
Commercial success.
Commercial success, yeah.
Yeah, it did really well. I mean, it's you know, not the highest selling game of all time, but no, it did very, very well.
Okay.
Yeah. Now it's time for Squad Up. Andy, can you check? Actually, can you read the Squad Up?
I sure will.
I'm going to look for your wrong.
You're doing your wrong. All right. Tim on Xbox One.
Not me.
And his name is Timism.
Timism.
26. Timism says, hey guys, love the show. I've fallen into a spiral of wonderful addiction to Fortnite's Battle Royale mode. I have a few solo wins and would love some Aussie kind of funny best friends to play duos or squads. Appreciate the help, guys. Thanks. So hit up Tim on Xbox One. His name is Timism26, T-I-M-I-S-M-26, and he wants to play some Fortnite Battle Royale. Get them, I forgot what they call it. You know, chicken dinners and PUBG, but on, I think they call it like a Victory Royale is what they call it.
There we
get that Victory Royale with Timism26. Duos from Australia.
Australia.
Yeah, mate.
And Andy House.
I'm Andy House.
You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, just like all these people did, to let us know what we got wrong during the show. Ignacio Rojas says, when talking about the Hidden Master Chief, what Andy was thinking about was the hidden dolphin in the GameCube's GPU. There you go. I didn't know about that.
I didn't know that either. That's not what I was talking about.
That's funny.
Thank you, Ignacio Rojas.
Number 93 says, the jingle is for the list of games. Don't you guys watch your own stuff?
Fuck no. I think during the Adi Shankar GOG that was happening live, the camera's been tilted this whole time because we need Kevin to come fix it. And it's like hard to like fix it, right? But people in chat were like, camera's crooked. And some guy tweeted at me, hey Andy, the camera's crooked. Can you fix it? And I think I replied to him like, I don't watch that stupid fucking show. And I was just like, that's why I had to reply again. I was like, sorry.
I'm just fucking around.
No, you know what? I used to watch PS I Love You all the time and all the kind of funny shows when I worked at a game developer, because listening to stuff while making art is so easy, but listening to stuff while editing is impossible.
It's impossible. You can't do it.
So you just don't do it. So yeah. Like that's why when people ask me, what podcast do you listen to? I used to listen to so much shit. It was kind of funny. It was the Polygon Besties show. It was Unlocked. It was Beyond. And now it's like only my sports podcast, because when you edit, it's impossible. So now the only time I can listen to shit is like when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
On the road again. I don't know the word, so it's so again. Oh,
shit. Let me down, dude.
Shrubtim says...
Kind of funny you're wrong. Let us know the lyrics.
Yeah. Shrubtim says, I was going to post a correction to the confusing title Judge, but Tim was in fact correct. It is pronounced Judge, and it's worth taking a look at the logo design because it makes it even more confusing. Graphic design at its finest. Sarcasm. I'm going to show you this, Andy. What a goddamn disaster that logo is. Everyone, please Google J-Y-D-G-E. And look at that fucking thing.
Why?
It's disgusting.
It should be a U, not a Y.
Good Lord. This looks like it looks like D Y little D
the thing
4 E.
Yeah, you're right. No, the thing in the center Man, it could almost be separating the first two letters from the last two letters. Like, it could just be a triangular symbol. No thanks.
And Caleb G says, yesterday Tim referred to normal difficulty in Halo as being the intended difficulty. However, heroic is considered the intended difficulty by most of the Halo creators. And the description for heroic in 3 ODST and Reach says, this is the way Halo is meant to be played.
Also,
what a good you're wrong.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to go back to games that I've like 100%ed. Halo 1 is a game that like I made sure that I'd. That's one where like I wanted to collect all the skulls and shit like
Did
that.
Did 1 have skulls?
No, maybe it didn't.
I think 2.
But that's one that like skulls. I wanted to be on every
all
difficulty.
The stuff, legendary.
That's like there was no multiplayer really back then unless you played on XBC, but it was like I'm going to play. My challenge was like I want to play the library on legendary and try to beat it within a certain time. Hell like yeah, that was like the challenge.
When you start making your own shit, that's when you know.
Yeah, when you're creating your own challenges, that's what it's like. This is a good game, dude.
Hell yeah.
And scary.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this week on Kinda Funny Games Daily. We'll be back on Monday, and it'll be me and Fran Mirabella, the third. From IGN.
FM3.
We're hoping there's some cool stuff from Nintendo World Championships. That's why I want to have him on the show, because he is a Nintendo enthusiast.
Also, I fucked up a lot of the timestamps, guys. Like, there's 3 or 4 of them that are just wrong. So let us know in the comments.
Love you guys. Till next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh, handshake.